I really want to try to slow down a little bit tonight. That's hard for me. Other night I failed to say this. I appreciate the church giving us this opportunity to come this way. And the confidence you placed in us. And I love the Lord tonight.
Amen.
He'd been mighty good to me. Far greater than what I deserve. If I got what I deserved, I'd be bound for hell right now. And tonight, lost friend, I want you to consider your ways. I want you to think about the way and the direction that you're going. And I want you to think about the destruction that lies ahead of you. We talk about a lot of what ifs. What if you was to have a car accident, or what if this was to happen? And there's a lot of bad what ifs. But I also want to ask you tonight, what if you sought the Lord and were saved?
Amen.
There's a lot of good what ifs.
Amen.
And tonight I want you to consider some of these things tonight, and I want to talk to you, if the Lord will be your help, about the love of Christ. I won't take for our thought tonight, and I don't know if I'll get it all out, but I need your prayers. I won't take for a reading lesson tonight, 1 Samuel, 18th chapter tonight. 1 Samuel, 18th chapter. It says, first verse, "And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David.
Amen.
And Jonathan loved him as his own soul.
Right.
And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and his bow, and his girdle." And I want to stop there with the mistakes that we may have made reading. And I want to think tonight, and I want to try to get into some of this here. I want to think tonight there that the Apostle Paul said that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Yeah.
And the Apostle Paul recognized his condition. He recognized who he was. He knew that he was a sinner, and yet he knew the love of God.
Amen.
He knew what he deserved. And my friend, tonight, lost person, I want you to understand that, as we said before, if we all got what we deserved, my friend, all of us would spend an eternity in hell. I want you to understand tonight that that was not God's plan. Hell was not created for us, but rather it was created for the devil and his angels. But I also want you to understand tonight that that there was a way made through the shed blood of Christ. And I want you to understand tonight that, listen, if you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, my friend, you'll never get there. It comes by the blood of the Lamb. Now, with this being said, here, this is talking about David. And previously, if we'll read a little bit past, you'll find there where David had fought Goliath, how that he stood before the armies of Israel. You'll find there that David made a statement that he said, "Is there not a cause?" And yet we know that he loved God. We know that there was a time there where the lion and the bear and all of those things had come to pass, and yet God had allowed him to prevail. And he stood before them and said, "Who is this Philistine that defies the army of the living God?" And so we see here that after Goliath was killed, and he stands there before them, and here is Jonathan. I want you to understand how Jonathan was Saul's son.
Yeah.
And he had a great love, but I believe that their souls was knit together because they realized that they served the same God. And so here it is, Jonathan is sitting here, and he hears him, and it says, Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as he loved his own soul. And tonight I want you to understand, with the Lord being our help and pray for us, I want you to understand tonight that I was thinking, just as Brother Jeff was talking there about that pool there at Bethesda and the troubling of the waters, and that man that had laid there for 38 years, the Bible says. And he said that he had no man to take him in. Every time that there was an opportunity for him to go, somebody else would get in the way. Listen to me tonight, my friend. I was saved on an altar, but I want you to understand that this altar here tonight, it won't save you. It's a great place to come and pray and for God's people to pray around you. But listen, when the trouble starts and that conviction starts and the drawing power of God starts, that's the time to seek the Lord. Now, it said here that his soul, that he loved him as he loved his own soul. I want you to understand tonight just how much Christ loves you. I want you to understand something tonight, how much that God loves you. The Bible says there that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I realize tonight you say, well, that's probably one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible, and it is. But it should be. It holds a lot of truth in that one verse of scripture, that whosoever will believe. Now, I want you to understand tonight just how much that he loves you, that it says that their souls were knit together. I began to think about that, and I want you to understand what Christ went for you. And it doesn't matter to me how many times that I tell this story, how many times I talk about what Christ went through, that it still bears witness to me what he went through and what he suffered for us. And I need you to understand that tonight, that listen, this is no fairy tale. This is real to me, and this happened to me. This is the truth of God's written word. Now listen. I want you to understand that Christ, as I told you a little bit the other night, that he came that he might seek and save that which was lost. That was his desire. Yes, he performed miracles, and yes, he done all of these different things, but his desire was to seek and to save. As he began to go about preaching, what did he preach? He preached the truth. For the Bible says, for by him come grace and truth, I believe. But he also, listen, when he come, you know what the accusations was that they had against him? Remember there when he stood before those Pharisees and he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they took a great cause against him because of that, so much that they would stone him. But yet, that went back to the Old Testament when Moses went to him and the Lord told him to go there. And he said, who should I tell them that sent me? And he said, you tell them that I am has sent you. Yeah. He said, I am. Jesus Christ is the I am. He said, I am that bread of life. He said, I am that living water. He is everything tonight. Amen. The accusation that they had against him was that he professed to be the Son of God. They said, this man commits blasphemy. How did they commit that? They took two false witnesses and said, this man commits blasphemy. They held a mock trial because he said the truth. That he was the Son of God. Listen. Said he loved him as he loved his own soul. Talking about David. As Christ was there with his disciples, No doubt knowing that the one that his hand was in the dish with him, and how that he had been with him for the span of 3.5 years, and he had done great things before this man, and yet this man would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. He had seen the things that Christ was doing. He had been there and witnessed those things. And yet still the greed that was in his heart meant more to him than the Lord Jesus did. He was a treasurer. His job was to keep the money bags. And yet still, what was he searching for? He wanted Israel. He wanted Jerusalem and those Jews to be restored back to their former glory. He wasn't looking for a king like Christ came. How did he come? Meek and lowly. That doesn't mean that he didn't stand for the truth. But he come with a desire to save, to point people towards God. You say, well, what happened, preacher? Y'all pray for me. I told you I was going to slow down. What happened to him? 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, and as the root out of dry ground, he hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there shall be no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him, and he was despised and esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. It says that all we are like have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Amen. I want to go on down here just a little bit further. This 12th verse, it says, therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and shall divide a spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressions. So tonight, how is it that our soul, how is it so much that he loves us? That he loves us so much that when we're saved, that I believe, listen, that we're not saved upon our own righteousness, but it says that his righteousness is imputed unto us. That means that within this heart that I have a piece of Christ. That's what that means. That he's inside of me. Listen, I don't understand exactly how all of it works, but I will say this to you tonight. That Christ loves you so much. More than what you can even begin to imagine. And I'll just be honest with you, sometimes I think sometimes we say that and people just let it blow off. But I want you to understand that when I was a little bitty boy, I lost my dad. And I got to thinking about that a little bit over last night and this day. And I lost my dad, and we was talking about how death comes. And I'll just be honest with you, as a little boy, that had a great effect on my life. So much so that when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I've probably told this here several years ago, but when I was just a little boy, there was a church over yonder in Westmoreland that thought that they would take me, and I believe had real good intentions. And they took me off in a room somewheres by myself. And they got to asking me, do you want to go to heaven and be with your daddy? And you ask me what 5 or 6 year old little boy that just lost their daddy don't want to go to heaven and be with him. And I said, absolutely. They said, well, you're saved. Well, I knew just enough about being saved that that was a good thing. And I called my grandmother on the phone and I said, Ma, I said, I've got saved. You know what she said? She said, tell me about what happened to you.
Amen.
And I told her, you know what that woman said? She never said one word to me. She didn't say, well, honey, that's a good thing or any of that. But I tell you what she did do. She come and got me every time that she could to make sure that I was at the house of God. She'd come get me. She'd press my clothes. She'd feed me. She'd keep me up through the week. She wanted to know that I heard the gospel. Years later, I was sitting under sound preaching, and that old heart got to pumping. And I realized that I had daddy sorrow at that time when I was just a little boy. I didn't have godly sorrow. And there's a great big difference. Now, how much does he love you? He loves you so much tonight. Listen, in this former chapter, it goes on. It says, and many were stoned at thee, and his vestige was so marred than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Do you understand tonight that, listen to me, regardless, and I hope tonight that I can bring it out in a way that you understand it. There's a difference tonight in truly believing with the carnal mind and believing with the heart. This world today, the Bible says that the mind is enemy or it's an enemy unto God. You won't think your way through this thing. You won't get there. It doesn't make sense to me. Listen, I still have a hard time with things. But when I get this mind out of the way and allow God to work inside my heart, I begin to understand some things. It says that his vestige, listen, was so marred more than any man. You know what that means? That means that he was beat and he was whipped to a point that he was not recognizable as a man anymore. I mean, this man whom you have never met before, he lived 2,000 years ago. You've never laid eyes on him. And yet he knew that you was going to be born. He knew that you would draw air one day after a while. He knew that you would need a Savior.
Amen.
And it says that his vestige, his appearance was so marred that he was not recognizable as a man. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I thought I knew what love was until I knew what the love of God was.
Amen.
Until I realized, as Brother Marty was singing that song last night, why me, Lord?
Yeah.
Why me? I'm telling you, it ought to get personal with us.
Yeah.
It says here that with his stripes we are healed.
Yeah.
His stripes we are healed. Let me ask you this. You know, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, five times I was laid 39 stripes, save one. That was according to Jewish law. The Lord Jesus was whipped under Roman law. I don't know how many stripes he got, but I'm going to tell you this. He was whipped beyond and beat beyond what was recognizable. Furthermore, he goes on a little bit further here and it says, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. I had a preacher one time ask me, and he was talking about over here in the scriptures. He was talking about how that he had no reputation, no comeliness about him. I said, preacher, suppose why that he had no reputation. Everybody knew who he was, and I'll find those scriptures here shortly, but I began to wonder about that, and I began to dig into it and study just a little bit, and you know what that means? that he was of no reputation. That means that he emptied himself. That's what that means in the Greek. And I'm going to tell you something that took on a whole new meaning to me. You realize tonight that the Lord Jesus loves you so much that he completely emptied himself of everything. It said he emptied his soul unto death. That means that he gave everything that he had for you, lost friend. Everything that he had. As he was there in that Garden of Gethsemane, and listen, he knew what lay before him. He knew what his purpose in life was. That was to be obedient to the Father's will, and that meant going all the way to the cross at Calvary. As he began to be in that Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that he prayed, and as he prayed, great drops of blood and sweat fell from him. Who do you suppose that he was praying for as he was in that Garden of Gethsemane? Who do you think was on his mind? I don't know about you all, but I tell you this, just the way I feel. I feel in my heart that as he was there on that cross, that he could look out through the span of time. And he knew that there was going to be little boys and girls and men and women that was going to need a Savior. That there was no other hope for them but through him. Why is that? Because our sin has separated us from God. And it's only through Christ and his shed blood that we're able, to be made whole again. It's only by faith in the Lord Jesus. I believe Josh last night was talking about faith a little bit. And listen to me, I can't muster up that kind of faith on my own, and neither can you. But I want you to understand, lost friends, something tonight. I want you to understand that you've got to seek after him. You've got to go with your whole heart. I was thinking, some of my favorite scripture over here, this fifth chapter of 2 Romans says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. That he was made sin for us. Tonight, lost friend, I want you to understand, it says so much that their souls, he loved him so much that their souls was knit together. It said he took off his robe. And tonight, I want you to understand, my friend, that you won't get there clothed in your own righteousness. My friend, you're not going to get there. Which way are you going? If you're lost and separated from God tonight, I'll tell you, you're on the way of destruction. Amen. You're on the way right now, my friend, that leads to destruction. And you need to understand tonight that Christ Jesus is the way. So which way are you going? I don't know your heart and I don't know where you stand, but I'm going to tell you this right now. And it's easy to sit here and tell you what I would do. But I want you to know tonight that as we was talking about how death is just right there, my friend, all of us, it's just one heartbeat away, I believe Brother Jeff said. 4 years ago this October, I got up on a normal day. I was going to go about my usual routine. I decided that I was going to try to save some lumber in a barn there at home, and I climbed up on the roof. And I'm going to tell you, my plan was to take my boys fishing. I stayed so busy all the time, I thought, I'm going to take my boys fishing. And they's all excited. We done got the fishing poles laid out, ready to go. And I told them, I said, Daddy's going to climb up here and take part of this barn down, and then we'll go. I climbed up there on top of that barn. Everything going just as I'd planned for it to go. And before I know it, I was falling. I remember exactly what my thought was. I don't think it'll ever leave me. As I began to fall, my thought was, oh no, what have I done? I fell there and hit the ground. I fell about 20 feet, hit the ground, and got knocked unconscious. And before I knowed it, I had two broke wrists and messed myself up pretty good. But I want you to understand this. There's some people that don't even have to fall 20 feet. There's some people that just stumble right off the steps. And I wouldn't scare you carnally for nothing, but I want you to understand what I'm trying to tell you tonight. It's only by the grace of God that I'm still here. My wife come up to me while I was laying up there in that hospital, and she said, Casey, they put me down for surgery. And I'll just be honest with you, I was so tired. I can sincerely say this. There was no fear there for me. I'm not making that up to you. As they took me and rolled me back, and they had four IVs in me, one in each foot, one in each arm. I asked him before he put me under, I said, am I going to be able to keep my hand? And he said, you go to sleep. There was no fear there for me. 7-8 hours, I woke up later laying there in the hospital, and my wife, she's sitting beside of me. She looked over and she tapped me on the chest. She said, God ain't done with you yet.
Amen.
And I said, no, I guess not. But I say all that to say that when that doctor was putting me to sleep and I was counting back, there was no fear there in my heart whether I would die or whether I would wake up. I'm ready to go. I hear people all the time say, preacher, I'm not ready. Listen, I don't necessarily ready to make that trip tonight or tomorrow. I enjoy life, but listen to me. If the Lord says my lot ends today, I'm ready to meet my Maker.
Amen.
Are you ready to meet Him? The one tonight, unless you're clothed in His righteousness, my friend, you ain't ever going to get there. Unless you've been covered in the blood of the Lamb, my friend, you ain't never going to get there. What is He looking at? What is He looking for? He's looking to see that the blood's been applied. I hear folks all the time say, well, if God loves us so much, Brother Casey, why would we have to go to such an awful place that was created for the devil and his angels? Well, I'm just going to sum it up real quick for you. Because you have rejected His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I've not publicly rejected Him. Listen to me tonight. If that Spirit of God is knocking on your heart and He's drawing you, if He's ever revealed to you that you're lost and separated, until God saves you, you're just as lost as you're ever going to be. Every time He knocks and you don't move, you know what that's telling Him?
Yep.
I reject you.
Yep.
I deny you. I don't know your heart tonight, lost friend. But when I think about what Christ went through for me, when I think about how that He opened not His mouth up,
yes.
He never said a word. He stood before a mock trial. They let a man by the name of Barabbas, they turned him loose. He was a known thief and robber and murderer. Jesus Christ come running, riding into that city on a donkey. You know what they said to Him? Son of David, Hosanna. And some days later, they were shouting, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. Why? Because He was the Son of God. And you know what? In all of that, you know what brings me great hope? He said over there that I have the power to lay my life down and I have the power to take it up again.
Yes, amen.
As much as the world would tell you that they took His life from Him, He didn't. They didn't take His life from Him. He suffered every bit of that for me and for you. When I think about that, how we are healed through his stripes. I don't know about you, but it sure means an awful lot to me. The old devil thought he had won that battle. They took him and placed him in a sealed tomb, placed guards around it, and said, "You keep watch and make sure they don't come and steal his body." And on that third day, that stone was rolled away.
Amen.
And my Savior rose victorious.
Amen.
He's alive today.
Amen.
And he wants to clothe you in a robe of righteousness. He wants to put a sword in your hand, the Word of God.
Amen.
He wants to give you a bow. He wants to put a girdle about you. And he wants your soul to be knit with his soul. I'm going to tell you this, when your soul is knit to his soul, I'll promise you he's the only one that can keep it.
Amen.
Can't no man pluck it away. Lost friend, I pray that you seek the Lord tonight.
Yeah.
I pray that you come to know the love of Christ, because I'm telling you it's real. He went further in this life than anybody else will ever go for you. I promise you that. As we'll have a song. Church, I pray that we know how far that Christ moved and how far he went for us.
Amen.
Won't you seek the Lord tonight while he may be found?